When a celebrity or VIP visits the city for the first time, it's not uncommon for a welcome reception to be laid on. Prior notice is given of the visit. The public are encouraged to line the access route and to bring with them insignias of welcome. A dignified vehicle is often provided to travel in for the VIP, and a band or a police or a military escort may also be provided. When the procession comes to an end, usually the celebrity is met by civic dignitaries, a speech or two is made, and then a symbol is handed over, which is what is called an appropriation ritual, by which the important person is acknowledged as having taken possession of the city. In our case, keys of the city might be given. In the ancient world, often the very important visitor would sacrifice to the local gods. Well, there are overtones of all that in what we just heard in the Gospel reading. There is a rapturous crowd and there are symbols of welcome, but this is something that's been organised from below. After all, if the authorities had known Jesus was coming, they might have organised a rather different kind of reception. So the difference is, of course, is that this is not exactly a limousine that Jesus is riding on, and the escort is just a group of Galileans with not a uniform or piece of smart dressing among them. Now, what was remarkable about this visit was something we didn't hear about that occurred just after the Gospel reading, where Jesus laments over Jerusalem, weeps over it, predicts its destruction, then enters the temple to overthrow the tables of those who are selling trinkets and animal adjuncts of worship. He, as it were, is appropriating all right Jerusalem and appropriating the temple and claiming for it a spiritually purified role under his leadership. Now, what follows after this? Well, you would think that there would be a sense of rejoicing, but there's also hanging over this whole sense of welcome a grim realism about what is to follow. After the failure of the Galilean mission, Jesus is now making his final and full offer to the human race by this mission to Jerusalem. But he's pretty realistic about what's likely to ensue. And so when he is brought before the religious authorities, you would think this is his big chance to tell them and invite them to get with the program about what he's been trying to do in his great mission on earth. But rather the reverse, his replies are taciturn. He almost seems to expect rejection as though it's written into the script, and that somehow this pattern of rejection is part of God's design to overcome human obtuseness and rejection. Now, what has happened here, there's been a lot of ink spilt amongst New Testament scholars and theologians about whether the Jews or the Romans were responsible for the execution of Jesus. But this is a debate that's really going nowhere, because what has happened is that in this life, human life has been recapitulated, redone, and done well. The original story of human life that was marred by the fall has now been put right, and one life lived magnificently well. And of course, that life lived magnificently well inevitably has consequences or knock-on results. And one of them is that it invites rejection by those in power, because such a life must invite that kind of response. It's really a waste of time saying, if only better people had been in charge. This life, the second Adam, the life lived well, invites the response of rejection. But also within this life, there is a kind of freshness of being, because the Spirit of God who made the worlds is present also in Jesus. And at this, when the second Adam, inhabited by the sense of the freshness of life, comes into collision with this pattern of rejection, what happens is an overflowing of new life that overcomes and overturns the intentions and designs of his executioners. And in the last week of Jesus' life, what he is doing is trying to hand on the Spirit of life to all those who will receive it, doing so often by a variety of novel methods. He wants to bring into creation a set of new Adams, a new Eves, a new race of the human race. And one of the transmission belts and sharing devices that he institutes is, of course, the Eucharist, which we are celebrating here. Well, there'll be more about that on Maundy Thursday as we celebrate the institution of this sacred meal. For now, what we can note is that human rejection can never overcome the Spirit of God and His freshness of being. Spoken in the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit.